It's not good, man.
One category.
My flame flare.
I don't get a chance to go to many movies.
15 seconds.
Time, Dayton. You got two running backs.
Oh, my gosh.
How will you handle the pressure?
Tom, Teddy, Roger, Junior.
It's Pick a Player.
He has a slider from hell.
On the Drive.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get back into Chiefs and Chargers. I know it's disheartening, but we got to talk about it. But we want to put a smile on your face. We got to pay some bills, and we want to give you a chance to win a prize. It's Friday at 4 o'clock. That means Pick a Player. The game is very simple. All you have to do is we'll give you a category. We'll say something like disappointing Chiefs losses, and you'll say, well, the Tymlin Elliott missed those kicks, the Andrew Luck wild card game. You know what I mean? Like, you get 15 seconds and name as many things in that category as humanly possible.
Sure.
You will then go up against somebody else and they'll have the same category. We'll then tally it up. Whoever has the most, and then if it's a tie, whoever has the largest margin of victory, you win a gift card to the other place. We're doing it a little bit special.
Uh-oh.
We used to have someone on our show named Steven Spector.
Speck Bayless?
But now he has gone on to a better place. And that better place is, he is our boss now. He is the program director here at 610 Sports. So, today you got a chance to go up against Speck Bayless, a.k.a. the text line's least favorite person, a.k.a. Mr. I Hate Everything, a.k.a. Mr. Spector to you. We got Jacob, Shane, Joe, and Jason today in Pick a Player. Jacob, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Do you understand the rules to Pick a Player?
I do.
All right, you have 1, 2, 3, and 4 in today's Pick a Player against the boss man.
I'll go 3.
All right, number 3. All right, we are in a festive mood here on the Drive. You have Christmas movies. How many different Christmas movies can you name in 15 seconds? On your mark, get set, go.
A Story, Elf, Die Hard, Miracle on 34th Street. Mickey Mouse Christmas, Shrek Christmas.
Hey, man, you're up, dude. That was a good try, though, Jacob.
I mean, I like the mindset at the end. He was all right, I just got named cartoon characters, and I'm going to assume they have a Christmas special.
I got him for a 4 spot.
I got him down for a 4 bowl.
But we call him Die Hard because that's going to be a spec issue.
I'll give you this. I'll give you this. I don't think it's a Christmas movie. I think it is a movie that takes place at Christmas, kind of like Enemy of the State. Yeah. Enemy of the State happens around Christmas time. It's not a Christmas movie, but you know what? Because the Chiefs lost yesterday and disappointing, and we got to lift the morale of the city, I'll give you Christmas movies.
I got them for 4.
Let's hear if Spectre knows his Christmas movies.
Die Hard, Bad Santa, Bad Santa 2. Miracle on 34th Street, the Santa Claus 2, Jingle All the Way, Die Hard 2, because it does take place over Christmas.
I'm not giving you Die Hard 2. I'll give you the first one.
He's getting cocky, wasn't he?
I'm not giving you the second one. I've never seen the second one.
I'm going to give you a chance, because the reason I'm going to give you a chance to reconsider, see, Don? He is our boss again. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm not giving you.
Okay,
I don't want to give you Die Hard 1.
Okay, man. I'm just saying. He went over to the corporate side. He's wearing wingtips and a tie and a cardigan right now. You know, he controls. You know,
it's radio. No one believes that.
Yeah, and I was just trying to paint a picture. All right, I got him for a 7.
Yeah, I'm giving you 7. I can't give you Die Hard 1 and 2. I'll give you the first one. I ain't giving you the second one when it comes to that. All right, so Spectre won that matchup, correct?
He did. He was at 7, and Jacob was at 4.
All right, Jacob already hung up the phone. He already knew what was up.
He knows what's up.
All right, Shane and Paola, do you understand the rules, my guy?
Yes.
All right, you have 1, 2, or 4. Take your pick.
Let's go with 1.
All right, 1. Things at a taco bar. How many different things at a taco bar can you name in 15 seconds? On your mark, get set, go.
Hard shells, tortillas, beef, lettuce, chicken, tomatoes, onion, salsa, nacho cheese, taco sauce. That's it.
All right.
I got him for a 10 spot. Man.
I got him down. Solid. I got him down for a 10 ball. Yeah. Oh, I got him.
Way to go,
10.
Shane. Repping Paola.
I got him down for 10.
Making people proud out there. Brian Shea's going to be proud of you.
I've actually had tacos with Steven Spector. I know that he enjoys a nice taco. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
I think he dominates this category.
Yeah.
Hit it, Dusty.
Hard shell tortillas, soft shell tortillas, beef, chicken, steak, cheese, guacamole, corn, lettuce, cheese, salsa, sour cream, sopapilla.
We giving him sopapilla?
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what sopapilla is.
You don't know what a sopapilla is?
I don't know what that is.
Fantastic.
Oh, they're great. Like little lemon sugary.
Yeah, little pastry things you put honey on, man. They're amazing.
No, I don't know what those are. I mean, I'm sure I've seen them before. I just didn't know the names of them before.
You need to try them. They're amazing.
Sopapilla. How would you spell sopapilla?
I believe it's S-O-P-A and then like another word, P-I-A, but I'm not sure.
I mean, I could have done what you just did. I could have at least, you know, just phonetically sounded it out.
But I think that's what it is, man.
I thought you knew. You seem to have a love for them.
I do like sopapillas, man.
All right, what's the count? What we got?
Did he say cheese twice? Or do we know that or not? I felt like he said cheese twice. So I got him for a 13 spot.
All right, I got him down for a 13 ball. That means Steven Spector running through these opponents.
Real quick, correct spelling is sopapilla. S-O-P-A-P-I-L-L-A.
Okay,
one word.
Right, I got to look these up because I've never had one of these
before,
maybe I have. All right, Joe in KC Mo. How you doing today, man?
Good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. All right, you got two, you got four. Take your pick.
Let's do four.
All right, we have Christmas characters. Dusty, I'm going to assume this is characters in a Christmas movie, correct?
Just any Christmas character.
Okay, any Christmas character. Very open, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You got 15 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
All right, you got Santa, Mrs. Claus, the elf. You've got the eight reindeer, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen. Then you got the snowman from the Rudolph movie, Rudolph.
All right, I'm going to put you on.
That's a tough one, man.
I'm going to put you on hold.
I'm going to go 12 on him.
I don't know.
I think it was a 12
you
spot.
Talked to him?
He said eight reindeer, and then I'm like, man, and then he starts reeling off the names, and it got me behind.
I mean, he actually got all of them.
Okay,
so I'm pretty sure he got all of them.
I got him for 12 then.
We never really look at Rudolph as being like a real good children's tale about bullying, you know? Like, yeah. Rudolph was able to overcome bullying and still change the world.
Yeah.
That's a really great inspirational story when you really think about it.
All because of his nose.
Because they wouldn't let him play any reindeer games like Monopoly.
It's not cool.
All right, let's see what Steven Spector, let's see if he knows his Christmas characters.
Frosty, Santa Claus, elves, Rudolph, Frosty the Snowman, Krampus, the Grinch's dog.
Does the Grinch have a dog?
That's all I got.
He does have a dog.
Okay.
That was the dog he used as the reindeer.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay.
I feel like he gave you a double Frosty. I feel like he started with Frosty and then doubled up with Frosty.
I felt like he did too. So I got him for 7. So that means Joe absolutely whooped that ass.
When you go get a Frosty from Wendy's, do you get the chocolate one or the vanilla one?
Chocolate.
I go the chocolate too. That's the first one. That's the tried and true. Yeah.
But I'm not much of a Frosty guy. I'm more of a milkshake or a malt guy. I don't think Frosties have much flavor.
I love their Frosties.
Yeah.
All right.
So Joe in KC Mo is at +5.
All right, Joe. Joe had a great day.
That was a good run, man.
Joe was like Anthony Lynn on a 2-point conversion. That's what he was like. All right, Jason in the OP. You got to go +6 or better. It's going to be tough,
okay,
man.
All right.
Dusty has this category as quarterbacks worse than Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to assume this is basically any quarterback in the NFL. You've got 15 seconds on your mark. Get set. Go.
Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill, Mitch Trubisky, Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson, Andy Dalton, Aaron Rodgers.
All right,
come on, man.
All right, okay.
You got 15
all right.
seconds.
He's about to go through the whole league.
You
there.
Don't have 50 seconds. You got 15.
Does Andy Dalton count because he's not playing? He's on IR.
Well,
I mean, you left it very broad with quarterbacks worse than Mahomes.
Yeah.
So, Andy Dalton is worse than Mahomes. So I'm giving it to the guy.
You could have said Brody Croyle.
I'm giving it to him.
You could have said Tyler Thigpen.
I'm giving it to him.
I got him for 11.
You could have said Uncle Rico. I would have gave you that. He's a quarterback worse than Mahomes.
You guys are dogging the boss right now, not me.
Well,
I'm going to give you that.
Oh, that was his idea.
So that's right.
You let the contestant pick the category?
He's
one of them because it's kind of nice. It's a nice gesture. It's a holiday season.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to get in good with the boss.
Can I make a prediction on what Specs first, and I haven't heard this. The first quarterback he's going to name is T. Smith. I guarantee.
Oh, that's a good one. I'll take some action on that.
All right.
You want to take some action
on
it?
Yeah, how about one sugar cookie?
What do you want to put on it? No, let's put some Starbucks on it. Let's go Starbucks versus. I promise you, I've not heard. I promise.
Can
or whatever
I get it on
you
this?
Want me to do. No, no you've
you
heard
know.
It.
Oh, come
on. I promise I have not heard. I whatever you want me to put it on.
No, I don't want it. Now I don't want any part of it because Dusty wants a piece of it. He's the one that recorded it.
I swear I haven't though. Yeah. I'm not with Dusty on that.
Yeah, but
him.
Dusty wanted in on the actions because Dusty knows.
I'm saying he knows one way or the other. Yeah, I'm saying deals between me and you.
Yeah, no, I'm out.
Is
now.
His first
I'm
one going to be Alex Smith? Oh, Dusty, you ruined it for me.
Smart to step away from the table.
All right, let's hear quarterbacks worse than Patrick Mahomes.
Foles, Wentz, Dak, Eli, Breeze, Newton, Winston, Ryan, Goff, Wilson, Rosen.
How did he not have Alex Smith on this list?
I mean,
the man has trashed Alex. As soon as he wakes, he gets out of bed, he trashes Alex Smith. It's the last thing he does before he goes to bed.
I know our boss better than you do, obviously.
Yeah.
I knew he wasn't going to go Alex Smith first. He has a heart, you know?
Respect us? Since when?
I mean, it's.
When it comes to Alex Smith?
I mean, it's cold and black, but
sure,
he has one.
He's got one.
You know?
Yeah.
He did give me trade yesterday, and he said, I'm legally able to tell you that I don't know if that's expired or this restaurant is even open anymore.
He said he's legally obligated to tell you that?
That's right.
Oh, man. He's
drinking in full boss mode,
he's drinking the corporate Kool-Aid already. That was a deadlock between Speck and Jason, so Joe's our winner.
Joe, stay on the line. You are going to the other place for free. Coming up in just a bit, the big news from yesterday was the return of Eric Berry. How did he look? We'll get back into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 45 minutes, Bill Moss will be in studio with us the entire 5 o'clock hour, talking everything Chiefs and Chargers. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up in 45 minutes, Bill Moss will be in studio to recap last night's very disappointing, very heartbreaking loss to the Los Angeles Chargers. One bright spot for the Kansas City Chiefs was the return of Eric Berry. Yesterday after the game was the first time we've heard from Eric Berry in quite some time about his injury. This is what he had to say about coming back.
Not really. I mean, I felt like I probably could have came back last week, but it was still that hesitation, I guess. So I didn't feel it in my spirit. So I just said I'll wait till this week.
This caught me off guard a little bit. Eric Berry saying that. And by the way, I thought he was terrific last night in the first half when he played 30 snaps. He could have come back last week, but didn't. Also in that post-game interview, he said that he didn't really feel any different physically this week than he did 3-4 weeks ago. So what took so long? I mean, that's kind of what I want to get at. And play that again, C-Dot, if you wouldn't mind, because he said he was talking about his spirit.
Not really. I mean, I felt like I probably could have came back last week, but it was still that hesitation, I guess. So I didn't feel it in my spirit. So I just said I'll wait till this week.
Why not? I mean, I'd really like to know. Why didn't you feel it in your spirit? You'd missed 28 games, 29 games, whatever it was. Like, you're one of the highest paid players at your position. Physically, you were fine a few weeks ago. You said you could have gone last week. He should have played. He should have been playing. I mean, this team needs him on this defense. If Eric Berry plays that entire game last night, I think the Chiefs win that game. I think the Chiefs lock up the AFC West, a 1 or a 2 seed, and give guys like Tyreek Hill and Kendall Fuller and some other banged-up guys on this team a chance to heal up. I don't understand it, man. Like, I really don't understand that part of it. If he physically felt fine, I don't understand why you didn't feel it in your spirit. Like, I don't get that, man. At some point, you got to go to work and you got to do your job. And Eric Berry's paid a lot of money to go out there and do it. And it sounds like I'm bagging on Berry, and I guess maybe I am a little bit. I have a tremendous amount of respect for what he's been through and the things that he brings to Kansas City. Absolutely. But, man, you got to go to work. You know, it's time. It's been time. If physically you were okay, you had 29 games and a year and a half to get your spirit ready to go. So I don't fully understand why he wasn't out there sooner. Like, I don't get it. You know, my mindset is if you can go, you can go. It's not like he has to play a football game every single day. It's one a week. And physically, if he was okay, man, you got to get that. Then you need to go out there and do it. Eric Berry has a ton of leverage on this football team because they can't cut him. They can't get rid of his contract until after next year. He has all the leverage in the world on this football team. and he didn't feel it in his spirit to be out there, even though physically he felt good enough to go last week and he was fine physically? Because he was asking that interview by Brooke Pryor, the Kansas City Star. Do you feel much? Do you feel any different this week than you did? You know, like, he goes, not really. Okay, so what took so long? I mean, it's a defense that desperately needs him out there. If you watched him play last night, he was a difference maker. 7 points in the first half when he played, 22 in the second half when he didn't. I don't fully understand. I can't. It's hard for me to wrap my head around this. It's not like you're asking him to come back 7 days after he suffered some injury. We are talking a year and a half. That part of it, I can't wrap my brain around it. I know I'm going to come off as crusty 48-year-old guy, you know, get your lunch pail and go to work and do your job guy, but that's kind of the way I feel about this whole thing. 29 games over a year and a half. You felt fine 3 weeks ago. You felt good enough to go last week, but your spirit wasn't there. Why not? I don't get this.
This is maybe the disconnect you and I have when it comes to this issue, is I think you're only talking about one part of a person. The physical part, maybe he felt fine physically 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I'm not in Eric Berry's body. Sure. It appeared to me, watching him physically, he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I remember tweeting it during the game. Man, he probably could have played in the game against the Ravens. He could have been fine. But I don't want Eric Berry to go out there if you are not mentally ready to do everything you need on the football field. We talk about it all the time. We sit across from former NFL players all the time and talk about the mental aspect of the game. You're big on, hey, you got to look beyond the stat sheet. You never know what's going on in a guy's personal life. Sure. If Eric Berry doesn't feel confident with his injury, if Eric Berry doesn't feel confident in his body that he can do a lot of those same things, I don't want you out there. It's not worth it to me for you to go out there just because you feel to uphold some contract in a game against the Raiders in which you do not feel mentally prepared to go out there. So if it took you an extra week, an extra 2 weeks of more testing and more fine-tuning to get your body ready for the games that really matter for the Chiefs, I got no issues with that. So I don't really have any problem with what he said. I understand at the core of, hey, we pay you, you need to go out there. But I'm talking of for a guy that had a serious injury like him, a guy that has had gone through everything physically that he's gone through, whether it's cancer, whether it's tearing your ACL, whether it's tearing your Achilles, I want you to be confident and trust your body. I don't think football is a game you can play with 85% of your body, with 90% of your body. You got to be out there and you got to feel confident that when you do something, your body responds the way that you the way that you are accustomed to it. So I at least understood what he meant. Man, you know what? Hey, I felt fine, but I still was a little bit hesitant. I wanted to make sure that I was mentally prepared to go out there. Because I looked at him yesterday, he looked mentally prepared to be out there. I didn't see a guy that was playing hesitant. I saw a guy that was flying around, a guy that seemed really happy to be out there. Think about that play that happened against Antonio Gates. Man, he got that first hit on Antonio Gates, the way he popped back up there and he was ready to go. I didn't come off like Eric Berry wasn't motivated, wasn't fired up, wasn't ready to play yesterday.
I just think the Chiefs gave him plenty of time. 29 games. Plenty of time, the entire season. You know?
But sometimes, though, don't you determine what it is? Like, I know this is a serious example, so I'm not comparing it to this.
Sure.
Let's say there's a death in the family,
mm-hmm.
and then your company gives you 7 days to come back to work.
Yeah.
But you need 10 days to come to work. How can the company tell you, hey, we gave you a week off? Man, no, I need the extra 3 days to come back ready to do the things that I need.
10 days is different than 14 weeks.
I know, I'm not trying to compare it. I'm saying is, so if he was ready to come back in the game against the Raiders, but he thought, hey, you know what? My mind's not there yet to go out there and give this team the 30 snaps. Let me take these extra 2 weeks to get to that point and then get out there ready to go. Man, take the 2 weeks. I know yesterday it feels like a big deal. The Chiefs can afford to lose that. They're 11-3. They can still be the one seed. They can still have home field advantage go through Arrowhead. You know what they can't have happen? Eric Berry go out there at 80%. He gets injured. He's out for the rest of the season, and your chance of winning the Super Bowl is out.
And I agree with you on the physical part of that. But he said in that interview, I watched the entire post-game interview that he did. He said he felt the same coming into this week physically that he had 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm talking mentally, though. I'm not talking physically.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. Get your head right. Get your mind right. You've had 14 weeks of this season and 29 weeks since you've played a game. That is a sufficient amount of time for somebody to get their head right. That's the way I feel about it. Now, if it was the cancer thing, okay, we're talking something different here. This is a physical ailment. And he said he felt the same a month ago that he did coming back. And his spirit wasn't. Come on. Like, that's not good enough. You know, and I feel like we're and I love Eric Berry. I got Eric Berry gear. Like, I admire the hell out of Eric Berry. But, I mean, at some point, you can't just pat him on. It's okay. No, get your ass out there and play if you're physically healthy. Get your mind right. You know, we've given you a sufficient amount of time. But Eric Berry has the leverage on the team because they can't do anything about it. This, Eric Berry isn't Eric Murray. Eric Berry isn't Charvarius Ward. Eric Berry is under contract, and the Chiefs can't do anything about it.
Maybe I'm not as strong as passionate about this is those games aren't serious games for the Chiefs. It's not like he said this about a playoff game. Hey, you know what? Hey, I just don't feel up to it for the playoffs. Man, we're talking about the difference in the Ravens game. We're talking about the difference really of 4 days. We're talking about the game maybe against the Raiders that he could have come back. You said all the time about this defense. Man, this defense is able to hold on. They're 11-3. They're 10-3. They're good. So my whole thing has been get everybody ready. I mean, maybe in this individual game, Sammy Watkins could have played. But, hey, you know what? You know what's best for the team? What's best for the team is you to hold off for a week or two so you can be ready for the playoffs.
And if that's fine, and if the team said stay, then okay. But if Eric Berry, if the team says we need you, and Eric Berry says my spirit's not in it, and after 29 weeks and 14 weeks this season, kind of got a problem with that. Because I think if Eric Berry plays that entire game last night, they win that game. They lock up the AFC West. Guys like Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, pick your guy that's banged up, has more time to get ready for the playoffs and make a deeper run in the postseason. That's all I'm saying. Again, I respect the hell out of Eric Berry. But at some point, it's okay. Take your time. No. This is professional sports, and it's a business. You've had sufficient time to get out there. If Eric Berry plays in that second half, the Chiefs win that game, they win the AFC West, they lock up a first-round bye, and guys can get healthier. That's all I'm saying. If it was 7 to 10 days, yeah, I get it. If it's 2 weeks, I get it. We're talking 14 here. And he said he felt fine a month ago physically. It's on you to get your head straight for this, man. That's all I'm saying. And I thought he played great. I thought he went out there. He was a difference maker. On that goal line stand, he shot right in there and made a great play on the running back. You know, the very next play, he was on Scandrick's ass about being in the right spot if you go back and watch the game tape. I thought he was terrific as a player. That's the only part that caught me off guard of this whole deal. And here's the other thing, too, when it comes to Eric Berry and the Chiefs and the way they've handled it. They leave us to speculate because they give you absolutely no information. You know, even when Eric Berry was asked about why he didn't play in the second half, he said, well, it was Coach and I's plan. We stuck to it, and I'm going to keep it to that. Okay, so now we're left to speculate on exactly, did they tell him to not go back out there? Did Eric Berry say he wasn't going back out there? Was it 30 snaps? Was it a first half? What was it? So that's all I'm saying when it comes to this. I think if he was ready to go and he was physically ready to go last week and if he felt great a month ago.
I'm just surprised that you're completely discrediting the mental part of it. Maybe that's the big surprising but part. Because you're always big on that there's more than just the eye test.
There is. There's a lot more to it. But at some point you have to say, okay, you've had sufficient time to get your stuff back.
Didn't he do that yesterday?
Yeah, he did. But I'm saying if he came back early, if you felt – I'm basing this on the things that he said last night. He said that he felt fine 3-4 weeks ago. He didn't feel really any different coming into this week than he did 3-4 weeks ago. Said he could have played last week, but his spirit wasn't there. Man, his team needed him last night. His team needed him for the full 60 last night, and he wasn't there. That game probably doesn't go to overtime against the Ravens the week before either if he's there. That's all I'm saying. And if it's like you've had sufficient amount of time, in my opinion, to get your mind right and get ready to get back on the football field and do the job that you're paid to do.
I just don't know how we can tell Eric Berry when you should come back when I've just never had the injury. I just we talk all the time about understanding the mental aspect of the game. If you went through the serious injury that he did, I just think
part of it is he's got the Chiefs over a barrel. He can come back whenever he wants. You think they're going to tell him to come? No, I'm not ready. Think the Chiefs can do that? Can't do that. He's got more power than Bob Sutton. He's got more power than Emmett Thomas. Hell, he's making so much money that they can't tell him what to do or what not to do. We hear that in pro sports all the time. It's players' league. It's not coaches' league. It's not. They control it. They control all of that stuff. It's the same way in Major League Baseball. You think some pitching coach that's making $150,000 a year, he asks his reliever that's making $13.5 million that year to come in for some extra work? That reliever can say, bite me. Absolutely not.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get into the three things I'm sure about after watching the Chiefs yesterday. That's coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
I don't want to say I told you so when it comes to the defense. That's not even the energy that I have when it comes to the defense. But I feel like this is what happens with the Chiefs. I would say this is the same thing that kind of happens with KU. That we put Patrick Mahomes in the Bill Self category. Bill Self can play a basketball game with four people. And I come on here and be like, I don't know if that was smart. And you guys would be like, shut up. Bill Self knows way more about basketball than you. How could you say
that? You're a bigger buzz kill than buzz killing.
I'm like, all I said was you shouldn't play with four people. That doesn't seem like that gives you the best advantage. Same thing kind of happens with Mahomes in the offense. You can't say anything about the Chiefs and Mahomes and us have honest conversations about it. I kind of feel like when they lose is the first time we can kind of look at the Chiefs honestly. Fanning, you've been here. Dusty, you've been here. I have been saying this all season. And every time I say it, you guys call me a hater. The Chiefs are bad defensively. Stop holding out hope that they are going to be good defensively. They are not. Their defense is not good. Eric Berry is not going to ride in on some white horse and save the defense.
He's not
going to
ride down on any horse. He's deathly afraid of them.
Their best defense is their offense. Their best defense is that they can score 35 points and put pressure on you to keep up. I was watching High Noon today, and they asked a really good question about the Kansas City Chiefs. When their offense is scoring like it's a video game, the Chiefs are by far and away the best team in the NFL. You are not beating them. If their offense is firing on all cylinders and Tyreek Hill is doing the peace sign and the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, you are not beating them. What if their offense is normal? We haven't been willing to have that conversation in Kansas City at any point so far because we've been so wrapped up in Mahomes mania. What if their offense is normal? Yesterday, their offense was normal. I'm not saying it was bad.
Yeah.
But I'm saying is for the Chiefs, it was just good. They scored 28 points. They got off to a hot start. They kind of went through a lull yesterday. Couldn't make plays when they needed to. They were desperately asking the defense, hey, we've saved you so many times this season. Think of all the games that you let guys have six touchdown passes and throw for 400 yards. We've let you get away with a lot. This is the one time we need you to pick us up a little bit. This is the one time we need you to pick us up. And they couldn't do it yesterday. That the Chiefs' best chance continues to be. It wasn't just getting Eric Berry back. It wasn't just getting Justin Houston back. It wasn't having D Ford have 17 sacks. Their best hope is that their offense scores 35 points. That their offense is one of the five greatest offenses in the history of the NFL. If it's not, they can lose to anybody. Anybody good. I'll say anybody good. Not anybody.
Yeah.
They can lose to anybody good.
Any team they'll face
in
January.
I would say Baltimore is anybody good. Baltimore almost beat this team. It took a miraculous effort from Mahomes to get you. Los Angeles is somebody good. They came back from 14 down at Arrowhead. No Keenan Allen, no Melvin Gordon, no Austin Eckler. We only talk about the Chiefs when their offense is the 99 Rams, when their offense is the 98 Vikings, when their offense is the undefeated New England Patriots. What if it's not? And that's what it wasn't yesterday. Like, man, I kept saying, if you pluck all these things off the offense, we're going to have a conversation if they're still elite. No, I mean, they can get over it. I mean, it doesn't matter if they have Sammy Watkins. Doesn't matter if they have Kareem Hunt. They can get over it. You guys still feel that way? I don't know if I feel that way or not. Again, I'm not saying their offense is bad by any means. I'm asking you, do you think their offense is still all time? Because that's what it was. When they were kicking teams, they were all time. When was the last time that we've seen the Chiefs really pull away from an opponent? Because they haven't been able to do it the last couple of weeks. They didn't really pull away from Los Angeles. I think all of us were expecting that to happen. This team got up 14-0. We were expecting them to roll the Chargers yesterday. That ain't what happened yesterday.
Yeah, maybe the Browns game, maybe the Bengals game.
That was over a month ago that happened.
Yeah. I'm not bagging on the offense for this game. I'll go back to something that Ron said, and this goes to your point.
But the thing is, I'm not bagging on them. I'm saying is if they're not going to be the undeniable best offense we've ever seen.
Which they're not right now.
If their offense is just good, is that enough to overcome how bad their defense is and how deficient
it is? Not in the playoffs. The
biggest disagreement you and I have had is you kept saying their defense is good enough because they keep winning.
I'm done.
And
after last night, I'm done.
I kept saying is their offense could score 40 points.
Yeah.
If your offense can score 40 points and you're telling all these other teams, hey, to beat the Chiefs, you got to score 40, your offense is not equipped to do that.
Yeah.
A lot of offenses are equipped to score 28 points. It's 2018.
Yeah.
A lot of offenses are equipped to score at least 30 points. Man, not many offenses are equipped to score 35 and 40 the way the Chiefs were doing it. They aren't doing that anymore.
Yeah, they're not. They're not. But last night I felt like they did enough offensively. If you're going to give your defense on three separate occasions in a game a 14-point lead, then they did their job last night. I mean, they're not, I mean, you're playing with a third string tailback. You got backups on the offensive line. Sammy Watkins is out. You know, Tyreek Hill's got a bum ankle. The offense gave their defense three separate two-touchdown leads, one of which they had in the final 5 minutes of the game. So I'm not – this one's not on the offense last night. This one is squarely on the defense. And I have defended the defense. No more. I'm done. Because Justin Houston made a hell of a play on Lamar Jackson at the end of the game last week when they should have won it before it went to overtime. The Chiefs gave the offense two – or the defense gave the offense two opportunities in that Rams game with under 2 minutes to go. Offense couldn't finish it up. It was on the offense on that one. I felt like the defense could make plays when it needed to. It did not do it last night. The defense failed miserably. So, yeah, when you score 28 and your defense can't get a stop, that's squarely on the defense. I'm going to go even more specific. That's squarely on the secondary. You know, that's right on the secondary. Chris Jones had 2.5 sacks and hit the quarterback 8 times. D Ford got in there, got his sacks. This one is squarely on the secondary, not just the defense.
You know what it kind of feels like?
What?
You know I love making my NBA comparisons. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like the Chiefs are the Cleveland Cavaliers. That the offense is LeBron and the defense is all the other pieces. That sometimes we've seen, man, LeBron can go out there, triple double, and do all this stuff. And then you look at Tristan Thompson and you're like, you got 4 points?
Yeah.
You look at J.R. Smith and you're like, you don't know what the score is? You don't know how much time is left in the game? The reason I'm holding LeBron and the reason I'm holding the Chiefs offense to this high of a standard of, we know what the defense is. That the defense held that team to 21 points. I don't know how they did it, but the offense got the ball back with 4 minutes. Was it 2 timeouts at home? I think we all knew in your spirit, if they punted the ball back to that Chargers team, they were going to lose.
You're done.
We all knew. Come on now. We all knew that.
Yeah. No, I'm
be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe you could. Oh, no. We're going to be honest here.
Yeah, I knew.
You knew if they gave the ball back to Phillip Rivers, that Kendall Fuller and Orlando Scandrick and Steven Nelson weren't getting stops.
Yeah.
And you know what that offense did? 3 and out, punt. And then they gave the ball to the Chargers with good field position.
Yeah, but that's Charvarius Ward with a stupid-ass block in the back on the kickoff, pinned him. Demetrius Harris, part of the offense, you know, moved early 5 more yards.
So, hold on. You're saying is the most penalized team in the NFL
yeah, it's stupid.
Got penalties.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah, it was terrible. What you brought up field position, which is why I brought up the penalties. When you get a block in the back on a kickoff, that moves you back. Demetrius Harris jumps on an illegal procedure penalty that bumps him back, and then I didn't like the play calling either. I didn't like handing it. You've got an MVP candidate as a quarterback, and you hand it off to your third string tailback. You know, and he gets dropped for a 4 yard loss in the backfield. Then you complete one to Tyreek, and then the offensive line doesn't give Patrick Mahomes more than about a second and a half before they swallow him up. So yeah, I mean, if we're gonna say it's on the offense on that drive, include Andy Reid and include the offensive line and include the penalties.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll tell you what Ian Rappaport had to say about Kendall Fuller's injury, and we'll talk about how this team plans on rebounding from an injury to one of its most important players. Coming up is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Earlier on NFL Network, Ian Rappaport gave this report on Kendall Fuller.
My understanding is Kendall Fuller played last night with what is believed to be a fracture in his wrist. And he was slated for surgery this morning to correct that as soon as possible. No word yet on what his actual availability could be. And usually you'd say, well, you know, if a guy has surgery, that's it for the season. I have not yet had anybody tell me that he is, one, going on injured reserve, or two, done for the season. It does seem to be a wait-and-see situation. He's also a corner who, of course, uses his legs more than anything. Perhaps this is one where he could put a cast on and play. It is too early to determine that, but what we do know is that he was in a lot of pain last night, especially toward the end of the game.
If we had to make a power ranking of guys that are most important to the Kansas City Chiefs, Mahomes, Hill, Kelce, Jones, Ford is maybe the top five. In any order after Mahomes is one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kendall Fuller, I think, is sixth. I don't think I can make a Justin Houston argument over Kendall Fuller, just given the position and having – I mean, I'd rather have the corner than have the right tackle. Me, personally, though, right. But I don't value offensive line the way other people do.
Sure.
I just look at this secondary. Man, you're telling me you're going into the playoffs with the quarterbacks in the AFC When you got Brady and you got Roethlisberger and you got Deshaun Watson and you got Phillip Rivers and you're going into it with Tremont Smith, Orlando Scandrick, Steven Nelson, that's your 1-2-3 at cornerback in 2018?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're getting beat. That's what it sounds like. It sounds to me like you're getting beat. That I don't know how serious this injury is in terms of missing the rest of the season. So this happened during the Ravens game. He was able to play in this game against the Chargers in 4 days. It was bothering him. You got surgery. Is this something you can come back in a month? Is this something you can come back if they advance one round in the playoffs and they get to the AFC Championship game? I think we'll find out. We certainly will find out more about the injury. Is this something you can come back from in 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Let's find out. Is it something you can just put a cast on and go out there and try to give you something? Because, again, if that's your top three,
you're done.
You have the worst cornerback group in the NFL.
Yeah, you're done.
I would say you have the worst cornerback group and worst safety group in the NFL of teams that are making the playoffs, even if you have Barry because of the other guys that are on the field there. Man, that's a dangerous situation to be in for a team that, yes, you can get to the quarterback. I don't think you're great at forcing turnovers. You're adequate at doing it. But, man, you can give up a lot of passing yards, and we see this team do that often.
You know, I give Kendall Fuller a ton of credit, man. This guy had a broken wrist last night, went out there, put a cast on it, and played the entire game. Ended up getting an interception in this game, too. So I got nothing but respect for Kendall Fuller. And we don't know how bad it is. We don't know if it's – I mean, I'm assuming it's not too bad if he went out there, put a cast on it, and played on it. So hopefully, if with 10 days off, you get a surgery on it, maybe he can go and see out. I have no idea. I mean, that sounds – pretty crazy to think that you can do that, but we don't know the extent of the injury.
I mean, I don't know.
But without Kendall Fuller, I mean, they are absolutely screwed.
I don't know, but it sounds like, I mean, they tried a short-term fix for the injury. That short-term fix, he could not go with the short-term fix. Yeah. Now, this is a little bit longer-term fix. I just don't think we know how long that long-term is. I do think it's important to note that Rappaport or nobody that reports on the NFL has said that that injury is rest of the season-wise.
Sure.
So it sounds like it's a we'll see how it is. We'll see what happens. You have this surgery right after the game. You had it happen in the Ravens game. You were able to go in the Chargers game. You had a surgery the day after that. Now you've got 10 days. Let's see what happens with the injury. Mm-hmm. I do think that's fair to note that nobody reporting on the league has said that he is going to miss the rest of the season. So it sounds like a wait-and-see situation with Kendall
Fuller. Yeah, and according to Adam Teicher from ESPN, he says if the Chiefs go with the candidates on the roster for the third and fourth cornerbacks, you got Tremont Smith and our guy Charvarius Ward. So you're going out there with Scandrick, Nelson, Tremont Smith, and Charvarius Ward. Best of luck against Russell Wilson. Best of luck in the playoffs, if that's the case. I mean, they're done. They're done. That's it. You know, because you got a banged-up Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watkins, if he gets back, he better have the – he better be so healthy, and he better be so freaking dynamic on offense because
– he probably won't be.
If that's the case, man – this Chiefs, I'm sorry.
History would suggest he won't.
That might be the injury to Kendall Fuller. That might be the one that sinks him.
I mean, history suggests you'll have 5 catches for 40 yards, and everybody will tell me that he was a great decoy in the game. That's what history will tell me.
He needs to take off his decoy pants and put on his big boy pants if he comes back. The decoy stuff is off now. No choice here. None. So, yeah, to me, the Kendall Fuller injury, if that's the case, and you're going to have to roll – Steven Nelson, Orlando Scandrick, Tremont Smith, and Charvarius Ward out there. Best of luck.
I want to get to the MVP odds because we've had the conversation about the MVP. I think it's a really relevant conversation in Kansas City, especially after yesterday's game. Man, so the odds are back out for the Kansas City Chiefs, or I guess Mahomes more specifically. It's almost a dead heat when it comes to MVP, whether it's Mahomes or whether it is Drew Brees. Now, I don't think Phillip Rivers has a realistic chance of doing it. He's now third in the voting at plus 700. So that means if you bet $100, you can win $700 if Phillip Rivers wins MVP. I don't think that Rivers is winning MVP. This is why last week I kept saying I think that Mahomes is the favorite to win MVP. Yeah. I don't think it's over. Man, things can change in the NFL so quickly, and they do change really quickly in the NFL. I will still contend that Mahomes has been the best quarterback in the NFL this season. I think he has been the best player in the NFL this season. That's not who always wins the award. Brees just keeps hanging around and hanging around in Vegas. Man, Vegas is not giving you these odds if they don't think that Brees has a realistic chance of winning it. Brees has 2 nationally televised games left. They got the game against the Steelers. They got the game against the Carolina Panthers. Let Brees go out there and play really well. Let the Saints get the 1 seed in the NFC and maybe the Chiefs falter and they lose the game to the Seattle Seahawks and Mahomes doesn't play as well as he has the first 13, 14 games of the season. Man, this race is not over. It's going to come down to the wire. It's going to come down to week 17. It was not over because of the game against the Cowboys. It was not over because of the game against the Buccaneers for Breeze. There's a reason why they've kept him in the Vegas loop when it comes to one or two when it comes to it. The MVP is down to two people, Mahomes and Breeze. It's who plays well over the next 120 minutes that's going to win. I guess Breeze has more time because he has three games.
I'll tell you this much, though. If Mahomes goes into Seattle on Sunday Night Football and lights it up and carries a banged-up team on his back, I think he wins it. I think he locks it up. You know, I think it's easier said than done because I think, you know, the career achievement thing of Drew Breeze, I think, you know, there's going to be some Associated Press guys out there that say, well, he's never won one. Let's give it to him. And in a lot of years, Phillip Rivers would be the leader in the clubhouse right now with 31-9, 31 touchdowns, 9 picks, and a team that's 11-3 out in L.A. playing in a freaking soccer stadium. I mean, with minus the Super Bowl, Rivers is essentially Drew Breeze. And I know that's a big minus, but his numbers and his career is essentially Drew Breeze. Huge numbers, Hall of Fame numbers, with not a lot to show for it. So, yeah, I think Mahomes can salt it away because he's got, what does he have, 11 more touchdowns right now than Andrew Luck. Granted, Luck hasn't played this week yet, but 11 more touchdowns. And if he goes up to if he goes to Seattle and he puts his team on his back and lights it up, I think he wins it.
Coming up in 2 minutes, keep it locked. Bill Moss will join us in studio for the 5 o'clock hour to talk all things Chiefs. Do not turn that dial. Former Chiefs defensive lineman Bill Moss will join us in studio. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate. Yeah.